Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, April 16th, 2023, Romans.
All right, we get ready for part two. A few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. As we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we see the contrast between parakoe, disobedience, in the first Adam, and hupakoe, obedience, in the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So far we have, for just as through the disobedience, parakoe, of the one man Adam, the many, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners. And then, so also, through the obedience, hupakoe, of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we noted that hupakoe, compound word, made up the preposition hupa, under, and akouo, to hear. So literally it means to hear under authority. It means to be under the authority of someone and listen to them, resulting in obedience. God the Father was the author of the incarnation plan for the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father was the author of Operation Grace, the cross. And in genuine humility, the Lord Jesus Christ accepted the authority of God the Father and said, "Yes, sir, I will do it." The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And by the way, this is the biblical definition of humility. What is the biblical definition of humility? Obedience to authority. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, let's start at verse 5. Your mental attitude, your thinking, this is talking about all of you. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint garbage. Verse 6, who being in very essence, God. In his very essence, he was God, deity. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And then we have, but made himself nothing. That is the Greek word kenao. K-E-N-O, long O, kenao. We get the doctrine of kenosis from this. And what is the true doctrine of many false doctrines of kenosis? The true doctrine of kenosis is the voluntary non-use. The Lord Jesus Christ, in voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes in order to carry out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him. That's the true doctrine of kenosis. But made himself kanao, voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out operation grace. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, true humanity, undiminished deity, that's verse 6, true humanity, he humbled himself. And what is the biblical definition of humility? He became obedient to death, obedient to the authority of God the Father. He said, yes, sir, to the authority of the Father, and said, I will do it. Obedience. Hupakoe. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God the Father exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as well as the bright morning star, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hupakoe. Obedience to the authority of the Father. He carried out the incarnation plan. He had genuine humility. Yes, sir, I will do it. So also, through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Once again, we have hoi polloi. Second time, plus the future passive indicative of kathistemi repeated, plus this time the nominative plural, not of hamartolos, sinners, but dikaios. So once again, hoi polloi, the many. This time, the hoi polloi refers to all the ones who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Once again, we have kathistemi, those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, they will be caused to be made, that's kathistemi, righteous, dikaios. All the way through Romans, we see this, dikaios, dikaiosune, dikaiao, the righteous word group. This D-I-K-A-I-O-S, dikaios, righteous. So a couple of things. One, dikaios means righteous. From the verb dikaiao, to declare righteous. From the noun dikaiosune, righteousness. Two, dikaios refers to the judicial imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The kaios refers to the judicial imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of salvation, at that moment of faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Three, so kathistemi dikaios, those who believe in Jesus Christ are caused to be made righteous. Kathistemi dikaios, those who believe in Jesus Christ are caused to be made righteous. 4. God imputes His righteousness to the one who believes in Christ and declares him to be righteous. God imputes His righteousness to the one who believes in Christ and declares him to be righteous. And I take it that most of you, probably all of you, have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And there is residing inside of each one of you God's righteousness. His righteousness. I look at each one of you. I see plus R, plus R, plus R, plus R. You're hooked up to the grace pipeline. You're encapsulated by the integrity of God. And that's the way when you understand that, and as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when you have that virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your personal love for the Father will motivate you to have impersonal love for all, because you know every fellow believer has God's imputed righteousness. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They have God's imputed righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. And you love your fellow believers with impersonal love for all. 5. This is justification by faith. Justification by faith. The future tense of kathistemi is the predictive future. The predictive future makes a simple statement that something will come to pass. The passive voice, the voice of grace. All the way through here, we see the grace of God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God operates in grace. The justification of the believer is totally by the grace and the power of God. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact. This is certainty. This is reality. So the corrected translation. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many, the hoi polloi, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also through the obedience, the hupakoi, of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many, the hoi polloi, those who believe in Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. All right. 1. Condemnation precedes justification. Condemnation precedes justification. Two, condemnation means now. The grace of God can provide justification because mankind is totally undeserving. Condemnation means now the grace of God can provide justification because mankind is totally undeserving. Three, condemnation means now we are qualified for grace. What is the mandate in 2 Peter 3:18? What's the command for all of us? To grow up spiritually, grow up in grace. Grace orientation. Grow up in grace orientation. And knowledge, doctrinal orientation. Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the mandate. That's a part of living the spiritual life. There are three parts of the spiritual skills. First, it demands divine power. It's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. God, the Holy Spirit. So we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. And then you will not carry out the lust patterns of your sin nature. We're commanded to operate by divine power, the power to live the spiritual life. And then we're commanded for the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And then you execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Not your plan, will, and purpose for your life. God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And that's the best plan. Your plans suck. But God's plan is the perfect plan for your life. The best plan. You want to be functioning under the absolute best plan possible? That's God's plan for your life. And that means happiness, blessing, phenomenal greater grace blessing in time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. Four, we are absolutely nothing. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, and God is everything. We are absolutely nothing, spiritually dead, totally depraved, and God is everything. Five, now God can provide salvation, justification for us, and it's grace all the way. Now God can provide salvation, justification for us, and it's grace all the way. Six, the first Adam brought condemnation to the hoi polloi, the many, the whole human race, through disobedience. The first Adam brought condemnation to the many, the whole human race, through disobedience. While the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings salvation, justification by his obedience to the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace the Cross. While the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings salvation, justification by his obedience to the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace the Cross. Seven, by one man's disobedience, Adam, the entire human race becomes sinful. By one man's disobedience, Adam, the entire human race becomes sinners. Eight, by one man's obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire human race has the potential for justification. By one man's obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire human race has the potential for justification. And that's what God does. That's what God desires. God is not willing that any should perish. Perish means spending eternity in condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. That's not God's will or desire. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. Salvation repentance. A change of thinking about Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That's God's desire. And that's why in grace, He loved the world when we were totally unlovely. Grace. That is God. That is God. That's His policy. That's His thinking. And that's His thinking for all of mankind. Grace. Grace. Grace when we didn't deserve it. Grace when we're at our worst. And so He loved us with impersonal love for all. And He has infinite impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is based on virtue, honor, integrity. And God has infinite virtue, absolute righteousness, and perfect justice. And because He has infinite virtue, He has infinite impersonal love for all. And so He designed Operation Grace, the cross. And Jesus Christ has infinite impersonal love for all. And so He willingly humbled Himself and became obedient to the incarnation plan of the Father, and went to the cross and received the sins of the world and received the judgment of those sins, because He is infinite integrity. He is infinite righteousness and justice. So Jesus Christ has infinite impersonal love for all. And that is grace. Because we are the worst. The world, the mankind, the worst. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. That's the world. And what is the Father's plan? Grace. We don't earn it or deserve it. What Jesus Christ work on the cross? Grace. We didn't earn or deserve a thing. That's God. That's what God is. I listen to, not very much, but the liberals, socialists, and they hate God, they hate Jesus Christ, they hate Christians. And they don't even have a clue that God loves them with infinite impersonal love. And in grace, He's made salvation possible for every single one of them. Because He's not willing that any of them should perish, but all should come to repentance. They haven't got a clue as to how amazing God is in His essence, in His policy. Nine. At physical birth, we are born condemned. At spiritual birth, we are born justified. At physical birth, we are born condemned. At spiritual birth, we are born justified. Ten, with condemnation, now man is totally undeserving. And now God's plan of grace can go into action. Operation Grace, the cross. With condemnation, now man is totally undeserving. And now God's plan of grace can go into action. Operation Grace. That is the greatest description of the Father's plan of salvation. Operation Grace, the cross. 11. The first Adam was disobedient to divine authority, resulting in his condemnation. The first Adam was disobedient to divine authority, resulting in human condemnation. 12. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, through obedience to the Father's authority, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Philippians 2:8. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, through obedience to the Father's authority, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now let's look at verses 18 and 19. Romans 5:18. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, the imputation of the sins of the whole world to Christ and their judgment, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many, the hoi polloi, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many, those who believe in Jesus Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. Every time I go through these, I just am amazed at God's grace. We're commanded to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, that's exactly what will happen. You will grow up in grace and have maximum grace orientation. And the more you grow up in grace, more and more you'll realize that God is everything and you are nothing. Every one of you, you're nothing. God is everything and you are nothing. And yet all that you have and all that you are is by the grace and the power of God. Not because of who and what you are, but because of the grace and the power of God. So there's so many things in your life. If you tried to think about and thank Thanksgiving, grace orientation is always Thanksgiving. Why, that's all you'd be doing all day long, trying to thank God for His amazing grace to you. Moment by moment, day by day. And it's fantastic. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for the privilege of fellowshipping in your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.